Good morning, good morning, Apostle Teresa. Thank each and every one of you for your wonderful statements and for just sharing with us what you're actually getting out of this teaching. I think that it's so important for us to hear from you as leaders and as ones bringing forth this kind of information, knowledge, and wisdom and revelation. I think that it is so imperative as well for us to really understand what took place in the garden, right? I think that we have not sat down as a body in whole and total to really examine. I think that it's been taught from one perspective, but now we have the opportunity to have the entire perspective, the entire counsel, the entire wisdom, right? Because we don't really deal with what Adam did. And Adam was the one that was responsible for keeping the garden. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember when it comes to God, when he gives you a responsibility, when he gives you a command, listen, it is not one to just be looked over or taken for granted. I'm gonna get into that. I don't want to jump ahead. Let me just find out real quick if Najia is able to run my slides or not, and if she's ready to go. If she's not able to do it, I am gonna teach today without my slides. Maybe we can bring them up, but I had to choose which way we were going to do this, just the way the chips are falling right now.
I can pull the slides up. What number slide are you wanting me to start at?
We're going to start at 10.
Okay.
Thank you. And I'll keep talking until she brings that up. I'll just share with you, of course, what my objective is. Hold on, did we pray real quick? Did anybody pray? No. Okay, I'm gonna pray first. Thank you. Lord, I just bless you and I just thank you and I just glorify you and I just lift you up as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior, as the one that rules and reigns over our very life, over our very being. Lord, we bless you that you have brought us together today to hear part three regarding offense. I'm praying, King Jesus, that as we are digging into the scripture and applying life application, that we begin to understand that we cannot build you a house. A house that's built on a fence. So Lord, I bless you and I thank you that your wisdom, your knowledge, and your revelation is coming forth. And I bless you that your Holy Spirit is leading and guiding each and every one of us into all truth, all of your truth, your eternal truth, not earthly wisdom, not earthly truth, but your truth that is so vague in these days. It seems like people are given some portion. They give a little drop of truth and a whole bunch of deception. But let us not be the people that are deceived, and let us be the people that take back our inheritance by force. I thank you, Father God, that this word falls on ground, that it can not only sow a good seed, but it will also be watered and developed. And I thank you that every kingly seed is coming alive, that it's coming forth. I thank you, King Jesus, that this message is birthing your king in the earth in this hour, your headship, your leaders through. I thank you, Father God, that each and every one of us are understanding that we are called to govern our very souls, to govern our very minds, to govern our very spirits. I bless you, Father God, that your blood is working on our behalf and that your protection is going forth and that this message is under your blood and under your power and under your understanding and under your wisdom and under your knowledge and under your tutelage. I bless you, Father God, that each conservator on the phone today will receive their portion of increase, and each conservator that replays it will receive their portion of increase. I thank you for doing it in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. All right. So we know that we've been on the whole journey on the lies we tell and the truth we elude, right? And so with that being said, here at the conservatory, we know that you know, all about the copyright infringements and all of that. So please keep that in mind as I'm teaching. I also want you to keep in mind that as we're going forth, that I'm actually going after very specific development and growth. So my wisdom objectives is to reveal the manifold wisdom of God concerning the first offense on earth. I want you to remember that, because if you don't keep that at the front of your mind, you will wonder what this teaching is all about and the dots will not connect. But I want the dots to continue to connect for you so that you can grow in wisdom. Okay. The second point is to reveal the eternal reward Adam and Eve received as a result of their actions in the garden. And the third point is to reveal the inward works and purpose of salvation. Amen. So thank you for joining me. I'm Apostle Janita Collins. I thank each and every one of you for being on the line today. I thank for each and every one of you that shared today. I thank you for the information that you shared with one another, because I'm a firm believer that iron sharpens iron. Okay. With that being said, we're going to pick up where we left off last week, right? So last week we left off with offend, offended, and offensive, right? We left off with understanding that this is the purpose of it, is to cause you to transgress against your God. The purpose of offense and the purpose of being offended is to cause you to break from your God. And it is a whole legal and criminal matter in the kingdom. I hope you hear me this morning, because my point of reference is going to always be about our King, his kingship, and his kingdom, right? Our kingly identity, our job and our duties, our responsibilities to our King. Why do I teach that way? Because God, he definitely has a comeback plan, and it's people like you and I who can teach the body, whether fivefold or threefold, who they are in King Jesus, not who they are in the earth, not who they are in the church building, but their true identity as a king, as an heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. And their duty is to continue the work that he did. He preached the gospel. He preached about eternity. He preached about how to get into eternity. He preached about how to continue eternity on earth. Listen to me and listen to me well. We have a job to do, and it's not just to warm seats. It's not just to warm pews. It's not just to show off our gifts, but it's to protect our King. It's to protect our kingdom, and it's to protect the citizens of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is to remind one another that we are a holy nation, that we belong to a sovereign God. Hear me and hear me well this morning. So I thank you for coming in and joining me and being with me today. With that being said, that was my review concerning week, and we did a great review on Tuesday. So listen, don't forget to rewatch Tuesdays, because a lot of information is being disseminated through that review as well, right? Let's go to the next slide, Nigeria, please. So we're here at the truth we elude, right? And so I took the time just to do a small keyword search. I think I started it, but I wasn't able to finish it last week. When I started talking about breach, Adam breached. What happened with this offense? What happened with this act of eating the fruit? There was a breach, there was transgression, and there was unlawfulness produced in that moment. Hear me and hear me well, because Adam decided to become the walking offended. God reduced him to an illegitimate man, hence born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Before then, we know that he had no sin. Before then, we know he had no iniquity, but here it is being found even in the garden. Come on today. Adam's decision to make him a breacher of his relationship with God. Listen, it was a decision. If you guys haven't learned anything yet, I'm not going to recap the last 2 weeks, because I gave you a lot of verbs, a lot of examples, of how this takes place, the different things that come in, the different thought processes that land you in offense, okay? I want you to look at, before I go any further with his decision, I want to just go over these definitions, then I'll go into a little more explanation. To breach, definition, violation of kingdom, right? A violation of your obligation, a violation of your standard, an act of breaking, a fracture, okay? The synonym, listen, trespass, violation. You can take a screenshot, you can do your own extensive study, but these are just to get your mind thinking the way I needed to think concerning offense. Transgression, violation of kingdom law, violation of command, violation of duty. I want you to remember that a transgression is disobedience to God's law. Last week, I talked about taking the word sin so lightly. We use it so lightly now that we don't really understand that we are in transgression against our very law, against the law of the kingdom, right? The lawmaker. Because once you breach or transgress against that law, it's also what? Against the maker. You got to remember that. These are the things, these are the little details that, or the little foxes that destroy your relationship with your God. Hear me and hear me well this morning, right? The other key word I wanted to point out is unlawful. I want you to think about this act. It was an illegal act. It was a non-morally right act. Before we really get into moral, I want us to stay in the spirit. I want us to stay in the kingdom. I want us to understand what not being righteous looks like. Because that looks like something. The righteousness of Jesus Christ looks like something. The righteousness of Jesus Christ looks like Jesus. Jesus said, I got up early in the morning. He always consulted with his Father, the Lord, by the way, his sovereign God. Oh, come on today. These are behaviors that we don't point out or that we don't pick up. These are kingdom keys that teach us how to walk in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and be keepers. But these are also things we don't think about from day to day. A violation of kingdom law, a violation of command, a violation of duty, right? Disobedience to God's law, offense and error. We love to play errors off like, oh, I just made an error. You know, it's like your child when you give them the directions to wash and doing laundry, right? And you teach them how to separate the clothes, and then they put all the clothes together, and then something blue runs off onto something white, and then they say that it was just an error. Was it really an error, or was it simply disobedient? Because you didn't follow the rules that kept everything safe. You see what I'm saying? We don't think about our actions from day to day and our decisions on what we can and cannot do and why we should not do something as an error, as a transgression, as an offense against our very God. We don't think about that and that there are consequences connected. Okay, let's go to unlawful. Because we live in a kingdom, we must understand that it is governed and it does have laws, okay? So unlawful, illegal, moral, right, not righteous, not conventional, or not the law of the kingdom. We must begin to understand the law of the kingdom. We can no longer give a testimony to our God that we only understand church and church doctrine. We only understand man's wisdom, but not eternal wisdom. We can no longer give that as a testimony or a testament to where we are as a body of Christ, because God is going to hold us all accountable because we have the scripture in the Holy Ghost. And he's going to say, but I left you the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you into all truth. You didn't take the time to read your scripture. You didn't take the time to break it down. You didn't take your time to inquire of me. You just went with what you heard. and you didn't study to show yourself approved. Listen, guys, we have to do that. That's why this message is imperative for us to move forward if we're going to do the work of the Lord, because we already see the state of the church. But I'm not here to teach about the state of the church, but maybe I am by way of teaching about Adam in the first offense on earth. Listen, not the law of the kingdom. Okay, contrary to law, illegal. We got to think about if we're walking contrary to the law of the kingdom, which will land us as walking illegally in the kingdom. Come on today, hear me and hear me well. It's a scary thing to find yourself illegally operating in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of his holy nation. There are already verdicts for that kind of action. And so now we have to take the time to look at ourselves and clean ourselves up, because we don't want to be on the wrong side of the bloodline. We don't want to be on the wrong side of the verdict. Not when we have the blood that actually works on our behalf, not when we have the word that actually works on our behalf, and not when we have a whole partner called the Holy Ghost. There will be no excuse. Hear me and hear me well this morning. Okay, so now, when you operate unlawfully, it also makes you a criminal in the kingdom. Hear me. And I know that this type of teaching is going to deal with a lot of the fallacies that we believe, but as I said last week, about the blood is there to protect us, it's there to definitely wash us, but we still have to put the work in to be holy and righteous. We still have to put the work in to come out of being born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We have to do the work to come out of the lies that we tell ourselves and the truth that we allude that will uphold that kingly seed. Oh, come on today. Illicit, illegitimate. We don't want to be found illegitimate. We don't want to be found in the kingdom as an illegitimate child, because the truth is not in us. That's scripture. Scripture talks about people not being able what? To even understand, let alone uphold the truth, because it wasn't in them. So that makes us have to look at ourselves and begin to wonder, well, wait a minute. Can the truth be found in me? And if there's a lie, let me seek it and destroy it by your power, by your blood, by your information, by your word, so that I can be found in truth, so that I can have more of you. God's not going to mix his power, his dunamis, inside of something that's not ready to house him. He says, or else you'll burst at the seams. You'll go crazy in your mind. Come on today. That should answer why we have so much mental health, so many mental health issues within the body, because mental health should not be a prevalent condition in the body when Jesus himself told those legions to go and that man was found clothed and in his right mind the next day. Come on this morning. I'm preaching and I'm teaching. Bear with me, because you will be able to grow and you will be able to learn if you have ears to hear, and if you let the fire of God purge you, if you let the fire of God cleanse you. I'm telling you today, we are on to something here at the conservatory. We are doing something together as a unit and as individuals, which is seeking out the truth and the wisdom of the scripture like never before. So I want you to remember, with that being said, I want you to remember that Adam himself became the breacher, and he breached the relationship with his God. God never intended for them to be separated, but he did intend for Adam to love his God more than he loved himself, more than he loved the thoughts that were rolling in his mind, more than he loved the ideologies that were beginning to produce in his soul. Come on today. Adam's decision made him a breacher of his relationship with God, the choice to forget his duty, his responsibility to eat from every tree, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It caused him to realize death. Hear me. It caused him to realize death. For the command itself stated that in that day, he would surely die. He wasn't a believer. He didn't believe. But God command, and the consequences attached to every command, and that's good consequence or bad consequence, doesn't change, that it's a law. It's already set. It already rolls. It moves whether we want it to or not. Adam broke the relationship by breaching the covenant by failing to comply with the rules and the formal agreement of his rulership, his kingship, his kingly identity, and role as God on the earth. I want you to understand that when God made Adam and when God made you, he made a king already. And that with that kingship, with that covenant, came duties. It's already wrapped up. I want you to understand that. This is why we have to teach about kings now. We have to begin to teach the body how important it is to lock up with their kingly identity so that they can live above and not beneath. So they can be the head and not the tail. I want you to be the head and no longer the tail. I want you to be above and no longer beneath. I want you to be the possessor. I want you to be the victorious one. But if we don't understand this relationship between our God and ourselves, if we keep rendering God a human God, a daddy God, a father God, a loving God, and there's no consequences and there is nothing that we have to consider concerning him, then we will continue to fail. And I know that there is not one person that came into the presence of the true living God, that came into the presence of Jesus Christ, that's actually interested in failing in their walk in salvation. It may not be our intentions, but if we do not get settled in on our true identity, it will continue to be the reality of the situation. If you bring this thought process to our present day, perhaps you will understand why the last Adam, Jesus, the Christ, listen, why the last Adam, Jesus the Christ, established in Matthew, why you must not presume that he came to abolish the law and the prophets. I need you to understand that. Because Adam's choice to forget his duty, to keep, to preserve, to store, to control, to manage, but most importantly, to preserve eternity's territory and ecosystem in the earth from the serpent and his beguilement, which led to bewitchment, were never considered by Adam. Here is a question I pose to you. Has any of this entered your biosphere? Have you forgotten to keep? Have you forgotten to preserve? Have you forgotten to store? Have you forgotten to control? Have you forgotten to manage? Come on today. Have you forgotten to produce the ecosphere of eternity in your life? Are you forgetting to preserve the territory God has entrusted in your hands? I'm just talking about this house right here, right now. I'm not even going to the next level. I'm just saying what we do with ourselves from day to day, as Apostle Teresa shared this morning, just being offended because when you pulled up to Dunkin' Donuts, the line was long and they had two drive-through lines and one wasn't working, and now you have a whole attitude and have a whole saying about why do they even have two lanes if they're going to keep one closed. And you didn't even consider all the background things that may have happened. Maybe the mic went out. Maybe somebody called out and they only have one cashier. It could be a whole bunch of other reasons. I'm just saying, are we the ones that wake up walking in a fence? I posed that question last week. Are you the walking offense? Because we play around and we think that we're not walking in offense from day to day because we think our little attitudes and dispositions are acceptable and that offense is not applicable to the situation, but yet you are offended and you are offensive. Oh, come on. Has any of this entered into your biosphere? I'm talking about how you conduct yourself. I'm talking about the biology of you. I'm talking about when people enter into your presence, when people enter into your environment, what are you giving off? And let me help those of you who think because you talk sweetly and you act nicely, let me have a conversation with you with a false persona. That's offensive to God because you're not authentically being who he called you to be. Nasty nice. Listen, it's a lot of things that we have to consider. If I haven't taught you thus far, I showed you that it was a lot going on inside of Adam. I still have his faith sitting up here, because though you may not think that this is going on internally, it is. He had a lot of questions. He had questions about his own self, how he was reacting. He had questions about what was happening with the woman. He had questions about the serpent. He had questions about his God. Come on today. He was full of questions, but the one thing that he lacked in was finding out the answers. He pursued the wrong way. He pursued the wrong perspective. He pursued the wrong path. He could have asked of his God. He could have inquired, but instead he went with his worldly wisdom. He went with his earthly wisdom, which is all caught up in his emotionality, in his own processes. Come on today. Your processes are killing you, and they're killing relationships attached to you. They're killing the will of Jesus Christ. They're killing the will of the Lord. They're killing. And that is the objective of offense, to kill, steal, and destroy. It's the work of the serpent at its finest. Come on. I want you to hear me. Adam took for granted that his physical manifestation, the birthing of man, the making of him was and remains to be the realization of God's spirit. He didn't think about the fact that just his presence was the realization of God's spirit, that his presence was the realization of God's glory, that his presence was the realization of God's truth, that his presence was the realization of God's way, that his presence was the realization of God's life, and God's anointing upon man. Adam never thought about that. And I'm asking you today, do you think about that? Because if you think about that, then you could not live in offense. Come on. The truth of keeping his obligation, the truth of keeping his standards of operations, his duties, command, eternity's law of the kingdom, and the righteousness was looked upon by God and all of eternity as a choice to violate the kingdom. Come on. I want you to think about that. How is God viewing us from day to day? Are we choosing to violate the kingdom? This is another action. Adam chose to disobey God's law. Adam chose to willfully commit a crime. And what was that crime? Hear me and hear me well. Adam willfully chose to release himself from the relationship. Adam willfully chose to release himself from the oneness. Adam willfully chose to release himself from the likeness and from the image of God. I want you to hear me and hear me well. The popular doctrine that promotes love as a one-way ticket to heaven and all inclusion as the way is detrimental. Who is it detrimental to? It's detrimental to the kings of Christ that make up God's holy nation. I mean, Adam loved God and he loved the woman and believed if he included the way, hear the words, the way of the serpent, that it was all good because it was his desire, because he was the king, because he was the ruler. Hear me and hear me well. But failing to realize that it's only all good and error-free when his desire is God's desire, as it had been. Adam didn't have any errors or any issues. And if there were any errors, clearly we had not heard about them before because him and his God worked it out. Hear me and hear me well. So Adam had a long time to develop his kingly identity. Adam had a long time to develop his relationship with his God. Adam had a long time to remain as one with his maker. Are you guys hearing me today? This did not happen overnight, which is why it's a criminal act, because Adam knew better. This was not an oops, I made an error. This is, oops, I made a bad choice. This is hindsight is 2020. This is where we get hindsight is 2020 today in the modern English. Because if Adam had considered what he possibly was going to lose and what he possibly was going to become, because he also didn't remain the same. Not only did he lose, he also lost himself. He lost his identity. Hear me and hear me well today. He was downgraded. Who wants to go from being number one to number zero? Who wants to go from being a leader to a follower? And I'm not talking about in a good way. Who wants to be downgraded and degraded, as we talked about on Tuesday? Failing to realize that it's only all good and error-free when his desire is God's desire, as it has been. So Adam gave up truth for a lie. He gave up the way for an alternative God and life for death. Listen, this is what's happening every day. You can call yourself a Christian. You can say that you're in Christ. You can say all that you want to say. It doesn't change the commands and it doesn't change the reality of what God has already rendered from eternity into now. Hear me and hear me well. Adam gave up truth for a lie. He didn't have to go with that. He knew that he was not supposed to eat of that fruit, and he decided to do it. He gave up the way for an alternative God. He knew his God. He had been with his God. He had been winning with his God. And then this moment, he decided to give it up for the wisdom of the serpent. It was serpentine wisdom. Why? Because he knew God did say, do not eat. And that in that day, he would surely die. Come on. He knew it. And he also chose to experience something that he had never experienced before, for real. He chose to experience death instead of staying in life. Now, we don't have that opportunity. Our job is actually the opposite. Why? Because we are actually born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We all know it if we're on this line, because nobody could be on this line if they're not saved, or if they weren't once saved and they're trying to get back to their salvation. Because there's no such thing as once saved, always saved, and all of these different doctrines. Because I didn't see that. If that's the case, Adam would still be in the garden and none of us would be here. It would be no need for the last Adam. It would be no need for Jesus Christ to come and release his blood to cover us and keep us and bring us into salvation. It would be no need for the Holy Ghost. So let's stop with the foolish ideologies and the false doctrines and denying the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the blood, is to bring us out of our sin and out of our iniquity towards our God and bring us back into full alignment, just like Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. I want you to know, Adam knew the serpent and the serpent ways, yet he was unbothered by them for decades. He ignored the serpent for ages and remained as one with God. So Adam already knew how to be wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove. Hear me and hear me well. All these lessons are right there in the garden. If you would only have ears to hear and eyes to see and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, there's absolutely nothing new under the sun. Absolutely not. Adam could have exemplified what James 4 teaches us to do, for God to Zakar us and release his great grace upon us. The word says, but he gave a great grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Adam could have resolved that issue by humbly walking away from the serpent in the woman, but he decided to be proud and prove his point. How many of us are constantly trying to prove our point? How many of us are constantly trying to prove that our wisdom is above God's wisdom? How many of us are constantly trying to prove that our decisions are above God's decisions? Come on today, because it's not one of us, it's all of us. This thing can be found in each and every one of us, but it's our job to capture what God is saying cannot be found in us, so that we can truly build a house on firm foundation that cannot be knocked over, that cannot be swayed, that cannot be broken down, that will not let in any work of iniquity or offense, come on, against our very God. He says this. Adam exemplified this. Hear me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Adam resisted the serpent, and it was nothing the serpent could do with him. Hear me and hear me well. It works. He used his eternal wisdom to ignore the dummy. You see what I'm saying? Ignore the dummy. Because anything that he has to say has no truth in it. So you ignore the dummy. You ignore the foolishness. You ignore the deception. You ignore the deceit. Come on today. But how many of us have itchy ears and we want to sit down and commune with foolishness? How many of us want to downgrade ourselves to make other people feel comfortable, because we don't want to engage in dumb conversation? Yeah, I'm bold enough to say it, because some of the conversations that are had from day to day is a waste of God's time and a waste of your breath, because they're dumb. In other words, they're foolish. They're not healthy. They're not going to render anything that's going to catapult you to your next level. They're dumb. They're full of earthly wisdom and sensuality. Girl, I really like them shoes. Are they 9 inches, 6 inches, 3 inches? Don't do it. Girl, did you see what such and such had on yesterday? Listen, we get caught up all the time with the girl conversation or the man conversation. Yo, homie, let me ask you this. We get caught up. We get pulled away. Because it makes no sense and it brings God no glory, and we know we shouldn't be caught up in the conversation. Okay, maybe it's just me. Been there, done that. That's why I can talk about it. Not anymore. It goes on to say, draw nigh to God as he will draw near to you. Come on. I say this all the time because there's something that happens when you are in a situation that you may not have all the wisdom about, but you decide to turn to God, that and you decide to draw nigh unto God, that you decide to draw near to God through your scripture, through worship, through prayer, through asking, through journaling, through writing. You know, when you begin to commune in the spirit with your spiritual head, your sovereign God, your Lord and Savior. Then he says he will commune to you. He will draw near to you, commune with you. Come on. But we walking around with our earthly wisdom and our false doctrines that we got it all, and whatever our first feeling is, then that's what it's supposed to be. That's what God is saying. Okay. All right. Because I feel, okay. Cleanse your hands because the drawing, hear me and hear me well, the drawing affords you to cleanse your hands. Scripture says after draw near to God and he will draw near to you, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So this is why you're constantly being tricked out of communing and getting in relationship with God yourself. Because somebody's duking you out of your inheritance. Somebody does not want you to succeed. But this body does. This somebody does, Apostle Janita Collins. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to lose your inheritance. I want you to win. I want you to be victorious. How? Through the scripture. How? Through relationship with your God. How? By recognizing that you're a king. How? By recognizing that you serve a sovereign God. Are you hearing me this morning? That you don't get to decide what his will is, but you get to come into agreement with his will. And you cannot understand his will if you don't understand him. And you can't understand his kingdom if you don't understand him. All roads lead back to the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Adam chose to exalt himself. I want you to hear this. That breach, that transgression, that unlawful act of eating of the fruit said everything God needed to understand about his relationship with Adam. That it was no longer one, but that it was now breached, that it was now fractured, that it was now broken. Adam broke it. Adam lost dominion and rulership over his physical senses, and he made God's possessions, products, and purpose vulnerable and exposed to the progenitor of lies, the serpent, instead of the protector, and instead of being protected by the progenitor of truth, God. I want you to understand that in Proverbs 9 and 10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. This verse is often interpreted to mean that the fear of God is a foundation for true wisdom, and that other types of learning are meaningless without a knowledge of God. understanding of the knowledge you have is everything. It is what keeps the last Adam. It is what kept the last Adam and destroyed the first one. Are you hearing me today? I want you to remember, Adam was a free, liberated man until he allowed himself to be entangled with the bondage of the world. Jesus was a free, liberated man that did not allow himself to be entangled with the bondage of the world. Why? Because he revered, he feared, and he reverenced his Father, the Lord. If you never heard of the first and last Adam, then you can go to 1 Corinthians 15, round about 45, and you can study that for yourself. We will get into that later, but I just need to introduce this because I am still walking this out with you line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept, because it is so important to understand all of these small details if you are going to be one who builds a house according to what Apostle Teresa taught last week. I'm going to try and introduce a couple of other concepts before we have to wrap up. Najia, if you will go to the next slide. Okay, beautiful. Okay. So here we have the truth we allude, key scripture. You can write this down. Matthew 5:17-26. If you remember what I just taught you, I talked about Christ came to fulfill the law, right? I talked about that. But here's the scripture. Let's read this. I'm going to ask Minister Chiquita because it's small. I'm going to ask you to read the one on the right. Can you do that for me, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Matthew 5:17-26. Do not presume that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of a letter shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever nullifies one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness far surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court.
Hold on for one second. The first half, I want you to realize, and I want you to take you can take a picture of this slide, but I also want you to read both versions. But I want you to realize that the first half talks about Jesus fulfills the law. The second half says what? Anger and reconciliation. And on the other translation, it says personal relationships. I want y'all to keep this in mind, what we're talking about in the application that we must use. Go ahead, Minister Chiquita, start at 20, what is that, 21, please.
21. Okay. And I'm still reading to the right side column.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be answerable to the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be answerable to the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. Come to good terms with your accuser quickly while you are with him on the way to court, so that your accuser will not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you will not be thrown into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last quadrants.
Listen, we know without a shadow of a doubt that this is not our conduct nor our behavior. I want to admonish everyone on the line before I go any further into this teaching to truly stop and look at yourself, see where you are, and make it right. God would not have me to teach or minister such a word if it wasn't so. I don't make these things up. I labor. I write out, I study, and then I still listen for what he needs all the way up until the broadcast. Why? Because a part of the anointing on my life is to deliver fresh manna. I don't deliver stale words. I don't go around teaching stale messages. Oh, I already have that one. Let me just present it over there. Oh, I already have that one. Let me just present it over there. I, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to bring to the people that which he is requiring me to bring to the people. Who are the people today? Everyone under the sound of my voice on this line listening. And I'm not saying one of us, I'm saying all of us. We have to become sober-minded. We have to come out of fantasy. We have to come out of humanism. And we have to begin to understand the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to begin to understand his operations. We have to begin to put into practice his kingdom procedures. The scripture, the canonized scripture, is canonized and it's here and available for us to learn how to treat our king and how to treat one another. And unfortunately, many people come to the body of Christ and they cannot tell the difference between what they experienced in the world and what they're experiencing in the body from day to day. I am not saying that we're a perfect people. What I am saying is that we're supposed to be a righteous people. And that is a separator. That is a marker. That does make the difference. So as we learned, Jesus did not come to abolish the law of the prophets, but to fulfill them. The law remains valid until heaven and earth pass away, every part of it, right? There is a great importance of adhering to the commandments, but the greater importance is to remember his command. This is why we have to study the word for ourselves. And this is why we cannot just live out of the New Testament, but we must also understand the Old Testament, because he came to fulfill the Old Testament. He did not do away with the law. He did not do away with that which the prophets said. It's a lot of lessons. There's a lot of rich nuggets. There's a lot of gold, a lot of oil. And it's not to live by it, but it's to understand how to keep ourselves out of harm's way and how to keep ourselves as keepers of the kingdom. The greater importance is to remember his commands. Zakar, his commands, as Apostle Teresa taught us. Zakar, his commands, as Zakar is a Hebrew verb that essentially means remember. But not just to remember where you put your keys, right? Not just to remember your date of birth. That's not how Zakar is used. But when it's spoken of in the scripture, It is God's action to help. When read in Hebrew, this is the act of God helping someone, such as when God remembered Noah, he acted to reduce the waters of the flood. I want y'all to think about that. That kind of help, Zakar. That kind of remembrance, Zakar. In Lamentations, the Israelites lamented for the Lord to remember what had befallen them. They weren't asking God to not forget that which they suffered, but instead to act on their behalf, to take action in his remembrance through showing mercy and compassion. Listen, they were asking for God to remember them, to show mercy and compassion upon them. Therefore, when Jesus declared he came not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill, he was revealing that he came to comply with. He came to hit the bullseye on. He came to accomplish. He came to finish the matter. He came to conclude the matter. He came to discharge the eternal office of the apostle. He came to execute his apostleship. He came to obey eternity's ecosystem in the earth. He came to govern his biosphere. He came to obey his Father. He came to outscore the serpent. And he came to show the citizenry of the nation of Jesus Christ how to render the plans and the will of God Almighty safely back unto the Father. We have a great work to do. The last Adam walked in strong conviction in his identity and in his duty. Understand this. Those who relax even the least of the commandments and teach others to do the same will be least in the kingdom of heaven. Those who practice and teach the commandments will be great in the kingdom of heaven. We are leaders. We are the head. We are a peculiar people. And we understand our God. We're going after God. We're building up with God. We're continuing his continuum. We are not trying to create a whole new system when he invited us into his through his blood. When he ransomed us through his life, when he paid the cost. Listen, it's much for us to do, and we can do it, but we can't do it if we are not fighting for the truth. And if we are not changing our minds and deciding we will no longer tell the lie, but we will stand on the truth and allow the truth to remain in our inward parts, that we will zakar God's command. This is a command how to treat one another. A whole command, and this is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. So the question remains, when we look around, why aren't we seeing this behavior? Why do we have so much backbiting and seediness inside the body of Christ, inside of ourselves? Why do we have so much serpent activity and little light? Come on today. I have to pose this question because I have to get us out of where we have been. I have to get us out of the mindsets that are putting us to sleep. It's like the python that slowly squeezes you till your oxygen is completely gone. You don't even know that you're dying. None of us want to be found dead when the blood revives and brings us alive. Apostle Teresa presented that about 3 months back. Are you dead or alive? Well, I'm teaching you how to stay alive. I'm teaching you how to preserve your life, how to preserve your righteousness, how to preserve your holiness so that you can be fit for your king to enter into his presence, because he's not allowing a serpentine mind into his kingdom. He's not allowing a serpentine mind to carry his work. That's the problem that we're having right now. We have newcomers coming into the body of Christ and they don't know what's true and what's not. So they're simply being fed a lie that they can have God any way they want, that they can do whatever they want, that everything is included and that God has no standards. Yet I'm reading this scripture. We've been on this for 3 weeks and the only thing I've been teaching is God's standard. That he has a whole operation system. I'm introducing language like ecosystem because I want you to go look it up. What does that mean? Biosphere. I want you to go look it up so that you can stop living just as a mere mortal, but step into your immortality because that's what salvation promised you. Salvation does not promise you earthly wisdom and pleasure. It promises you the treasures of eternity. And a part of the treasures of eternity is the information, wisdom, knowledge, and intel of eternity so that you can walk as he walked on this earth. As he is, so are you in this world. But how many of you are really walking that out? How many of you are thinking when you wake up in the morning that I'm a king and I have rulership and I have dominion and I'm a rule over my mind. I'm a rule over my soul. I'm a rule over my spirit. I am going to have dominion and I'm going to teach my children how to have dominion and I'm going to go into my workplace and have dominion. Come on. I'm going to go into my business and have dominion. I didn't become the number one financial advisor in a territory. The territory I was entrusted in, 3 states, I didn't become that because I had a lost identity. I became that because I consulted my father every morning as to who he wanted me to speak with. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying is available to you, that God can show you the way? Scripture says that he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the light. That's what scripture tells us. Is that what we're going after, or are we going after more darkness? Those who practice and teach the commandments will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness is a requirement for the kingdom of heaven. Listen. Righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to learn beyond your head knowledge and grow in spiritual astuteness in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Come on, guys. There's a higher place for us to go. Will we enter in? Will we go higher? Will we take on the true duty? Will we take on our true identity? This is not even what I have in my notes, but clearly this is the way that we have to go. To God, listen, listen, traditionally, we are taught that you shall not murder. And the consequences of murder. But Jesus taught that anger is murderous. We gotta understand what he's saying. We have to read the scripture for understanding. Jesus also taught anger with a brother makes one liable to judgment. Come on, is this what we wanna do? We wanna just put ourselves in judgment? Insulting a brother brings further consequences. Read this scripture. Reconciliation over rituals is a kingdom approach. We have people in ministries falling apart because somebody allowed the mind of the serpent to enter. Somebody allowed a lie to enter into places where there was once truth. And the only way that entrance can come in is because somebody changed their appetites. They no longer wanted truth. They wanted something more sensual. They wanted something more earthly. They wanted something a little further from the oneness with Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me today? Go back and study, because I showed you and I have proven that Adam walked with God as one for a very long time. And that relationship was breached because he changed his mind. Oh, come on. It is more important to reconcile with a brother before offering gifts at the altar. That's what we just read. But it's more important and urgent in the kingdom to settle disputes quickly. Stop allowing the enemy to destroy our relationships with our King and our relationships with one another. Quick resolution with accusers to avoid severe consequences, such as imprisonment. Listen, the scripture just showed us we can try and argue all day and all night. Warning of the inevitability of paying the full penalty is if disputed or not settled promptly. I'm sorry, I had to get this together. So warning of the inevitability of paying the full penalty if disputes are not promptly settled. Settle the dispute. We cannot afford to say that we are in the threefold or we are in the fivefold and we're walking around in offense. We're offended by our brothers. Whether we're accusers or the accused, a settlement has to take place now. It says, don't come to the altar with your gifts. No, go settle it first. Look at that command. It's already saying something's wrong with that behavior. What would make you think that you can stay in my presence, but you can't even get it right with your brother that's right before you? So I already know that you don't have it right with me. Y'all got to hear the mind of Christ. You have to learn the wisdom and the operations of eternity that keeps you under the blood. Adam took himself. If the blood was present then we would say Adam took himself from under the blood. But the blood is available for us today. Are we taking ourselves from under the blood? The Holy Spirit is available for us today. Are we not communing with the Holy Spirit for truth? The scripture is available for us today, so we don't have to have hindsight as 2020. We can read the scripture and get wisdom. Are we reading our scripture? Nigeria, go to slide 13, the next slide. You can take a picture of this. We are now at 105. I think I'm going to try and finish this particular slide, and I might just do like the first two. Just as an example as to how offense looks scripturally and God's verdicts and responses. I'm trying to make it bigger. So if we look at Genesis 4, 3 through 8, Cain was offended with God because his offering was not accepted, while his brother Abel's offering was. This offense led Cain to murder Abel. Are y'all seeing this? Anger. Come on. God confronted Cain. There was a whole confrontation. It was not a walk away. You sweep it under the rug and I'll get back with this later. That's not the apostolic mindset, and that's certainly not the apostolic way. It's not God's way. He deals with things. Though in certain situations, depending on the situation, he will allow that thing to play out. He says when sin is full grown. I want you to remember that too. But my point is, you're not God. So unless it's a matter of him rendering a judgment, giving you the authority to render judgment on something, I'm saying don't live in offense, because it only gets worse. God confronted Cain, warning him that sin was crouching at his door and that he must master it. After Cain killed Abel, God punished him by making him a restless wanderer. Listen, I go on through Job, Jonah, Elijah, Moses, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. There's thousands more. Listen, you could go through the scripture, but my whole point with this is for you to understand that what? People are always offended at God. There's a whole Bible full of offense. So as much as we like to say, no, 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 I don't have a problem with God. Let's read Jeremiah. Jeremiah felt deceived by God because his prophetic ministry brought him nothing but ridicule and persecution. He lamented his birth and questioned the purpose of his suffering. God reaffirmed Jeremiah's calling and mission, promising that he would be with him and protect him against his adversaries, ensuring that Jeremiah's message would prevail. Oh, come on. At least Jeremiah went to God and had the conversation. See what I'm saying? God can produce great outcomes through the hard conversation. Because indeed, we still talk about Jeremiah today. So the message did prevail, right? Let's go to Jonah. Let's go to Jonah. Jonah was angry with God for sparing the city. Come on, y'all. Y'all already know this, right? But let's just look at the offense. But let's look at the response. God explained to Jonah the importance of mercy and compassion, highlighting that he cared for the people of Nineveh in their repentance. This is a great example of us thinking that we know the mind of Christ, that we know where people are with God, and we render our own verdict, and God has a whole nother verdict. This is another piece of us not understanding how to just do our job, how to just do the command. And that's it. Let God do the rest. Some plant, some water, God brings the increase. You see what I'm saying? We serve a sovereign God. He can do what he wants when he wants. But our job, if we are actually his under sovereigns and his servants, our job is to do what he commands. Our job is to keep our duty. Our job is to the car, to remember what he has asked us to do and that he can help us. You can read that on your own. I hope that you took you could take a screenshot of that. Go to 14 for me. Okay, you can take a picture of this too. This is the truth we elude. Scriptures demonstrating taking offense at Jesus. Okay, that's not it. That's it. So Matthew 11:16, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. This is Jesus talking, right? This is how we can look at how Jesus is walking through the earth now inside of us. Blessed is he, the one who is not offended by me, right? This is a whole behavior, process, thought, in outlook. If you want to remain blessed, don't be offended. Don't be offended by the things that you hear, by the teachings, by the tones, by the faces. But I mean, we just choose all kinds of reasons to be offended. But scripture is telling us that there's a blessing in not being offended. This is why in my training session, I shared how I learned this, and I had to learn this because I used to be the walking offended. That's why I said that. I had to learn this through scripture that God always had a bigger idea, and he would put me in all kinds of weird, crazy situations to see my response. And the moment that I realized God was trying to get something greater out of me, that he was trying to see if I would be the bigger person, if I would keep to my command, if I would go back to him, if I would think about him, or if I would just show out, or if I would just react or respond. And I think I shared this, I don't know if I shared this publicly, but I'll share it right now. I talked about one time, one of my tenants, she was behind on her rent and I was gracious with her. I let her, I told her that she could break down the month of rent that she didn't pay into three payments, right? So she would have to pay the next month rent, but I would also take each month just an extra payment. I divided it by three and just would accept an extra payment. So that was very gracious. You don't have many landlords that will work with you in that fashion, right? When the next month came and I went past to collect the rent, this woman looked me in my face on my property and took her head and told me, I'm not paying you nothing. With the wobbling of the head and the switching of the neck and all of it. And I had just been back in Christ. I don't know, it wasn't long. I want to say maybe a year. I don't know. It wasn't long. I was still being purged and cleaned and built up, right? My identity in Christ was still in the process of being shaped. And I'm saying that because as this woman was talking to me, every ounce of the world just came to the forefront of my mind. I had decided what I was going to call her, how I was going to degrade her, I was about to annihilate this woman with my words. And I promise you, I could see it, I could taste it, I could feel it. It was going to go down and I was going to win. Adam all day. Okay, I was going to win. My pride was kicking up. Who does she think she is? Who is she talking to? This is my property. You understand? It was all kicking up. And because God was teaching me a lesson about how to be a keeper and how not to lose my cool, because that would be an area where the enemy would always trip me up and it would give a whole stain to the walk and all of the pressing and the sacrifices and the growth that I was doing. That when I opened up my mouth to release some kind of cuss words and foul names, I simply called the woman a numbnut. Now, when I called her a numbnut, I knew it wasn't me. At that moment, because God knew I really loved him and I really wanted to win for him, but this thing was pushing my button. He showed me, cleaved my tongue to the roof of my mouth. In a word that I do not use, that is not in my vocabulary. Numbnut is not a word that I use, came out. I looked around. I was like, well, who said that? Because that was not what I was going after. So the reality is, I had to learn that there was a blessing for me to not be offended. Just saying, it's a two-way street. Not offended with God, not offended with man, not offended with situations. We walk in so much offense. I just gave that simple example earlier with going to a two-lane drive-through. We don't realize how we just get ourselves worked up, and the enemy is sitting there watching and laughing the same way he sat and watched Adam. The enemy is watching our reactions, and he's always creating a strategy to get us distracted and off point. Why? His sole job is to kill, steal, and destroy through deception, through beguiling, through bewitchment. That's his sole job. He has no other duty, but our sole job is to defeat him. Our sole job is to overcome. Our sole job is to rule and manage him. Our sole job is to control him. Y'all hearing me? This verse reflects Jesus addressing the doubts of John the Baptist, highlighting the blessing upon those who do not take offense of him. Are you hearing? Are you reading? Matthew 13:57, and they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. Here Jesus faces rejection in his hometown of Nazareth as the people take offense at his wisdom and miraculous power, unable to see beyond his humble origin. Come on. We just had a conversation in one of our groups. About people not understanding the purpose of training and entering into the training realm with the wrong perspective. And the lesson that was received and how they grew through truth and not a lie. I'm telling y'all, this is a powerful teaching. I'm not just saying it because God has downloaded and given it to me. I'm just saying it because it produces an eternal power, a dunamis power that creates miracles inside of our own selves before we deal with others. It allows us to see our own self the way God is looking at us. It allows us to begin to have God's judgment system. It allows us to have eternity's judgment system. It allows us to begin to see where we are and where we are actually not operating according to the standards of the kingdom of God. Come on today. As you can see, I made a whole list. I did most of the work for you. The most you can do is just study this for yourself. Because if during this time, people were taking offense towards Jesus, who was standing right in front of them, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, I want to ask you today, how much more wiser are you? How much more wiser are you when he puts his kings in front of you that represent him, when he puts his scripture in front of you that represents him, when he allows the Holy Ghost to be before you that represents him, how much more wiser are you today? Or are your responses off? Oh, come on. Let me see. I'm trying to see if it's another one I definitely want to point out. Check this out, Matthew 15. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? It's in the scripture. After Jesus criticizes the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, the disciples inform him that his words caused offense, showcasing the tension between Jesus and the religious leaders. Is that happening right now? And what was Jesus supposed to do with that? Tell a lie? Change the truth? And here's my question. How many of you begin to tell a lie and change the truth because somebody's offended by the truth of Jesus Christ in you? How many of you are afraid of the tension that the truth may bring to a situation? How many of you are afraid to sit down and have real conversation honest conversation, authentic conversation, righteous conversation, and admit that you're offended. I mean, it's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different ways we can work this out. My only point is, look, it's right here in the scripture, and there's nothing new under the sun. We just want to make sure that we're not the ones conducting ourselves as such. Because for Jesus, he's like, okay, but I'm about my Father's business, and I'm not changing because it makes you uncomfortable. I'm going to do everything I'm commanded to do because I'm getting back in. I'm going home. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. Because you got to think about this. If he would have changed one word, if he would have done one thing differently, he would not have. He would still be on this earth. Have any of you ever thought about that? He would still be on this earth. And then what would have become of us? It goes on and on and on and on. I want you, it's 1:22. Najia, I want you to go. No, I'll save those slides. I was going to introduce a couple of other slides for you to take pictures of and study, but I will just introduce that next week. I think right here is a good place to end because other than that, I would have to go to another place. But what I have provided for you today is a lot of studying of scripture and of the word for you to read for yourself. Go in and begin to study yourself and see if what I'm teaching is true or not. I bet you that you'll find that it's true. I promise you that you'll find that it's true. And I promise you that if you continue with us, that you'll definitely come out a different person at the end of this teaching, and that you'll definitely be able to locate the lie that's destroying your life, that's destroying what God wants to manifest through you, that's destroying your purpose and destiny. I promise you. There's only one place to go with this type of teaching, and it's up. I bless each and every one of you. I thank you for joining me today. I bless you, Apostle Teresa, and I am done. See you on Tuesday.
Amen. Listen, outstanding teaching, not just saying that in words, but outstanding and by way of transformation. So I really hope that each and every one of you are being transformed. I hope that you are looking closely at your own lives to discover the lies that you tell, the lies we tell. I want you to be very clear in that, because today really put, I would say, skin on the foundations. We have a clear understanding of what this looks like, and we have a clear understanding of how we walk it out. Literally, it was step by step by step by step by step. There are many things Apostle Janita talked about today. She gave us some recaps of last week. I won't focus so much on last week, but I did take a few notes because it's critical to me in this hour, because like she said, this is an all of us message, not some of us. And I think for me, the most significant part was understanding that we wake up in the morning, probably already formulating lies in our mind or offenses in our hearts, things that are not true. And it gives us a pathway of being able to be conscious of that. Does that make sense, you guys? Are you understanding what I'm saying based on today? Just those little bitty things that seem little, but are really big because they paint such a larger picture. But I want to highlight these words that I think is important. I really want you to understand today what she said about breach. I think one of the things that have happened in the body of Christ, and she clarified that as well, but we've forgotten to see God as a lawgiver. But I want you to remember that's how he is introduced to us in the Bible. It's how he's introduced to us. God gave Moses the law. God gave David. So I want us to always look at that, because this whole idea of seeing this from a legal perspective has special meaning for me right now because I'm studying law. But I'm telling you that the words that we got this morning, that word breach, please study that word out scripturally. Study it out scripturally. Look at it even in terms of repairer of the breach. And I, you know, I was thinking about all the terms in the, in the King James Version where that word is used, because it's not used so much in the other translations that way. It's a word, but it's not that word. But that word breach is a powerful word. And I want you to look at it as like the definitions. I hope you screenshot that. But I love it because the first thing that I saw when I heard that word, I thought about the word rupture. I thought about how people talk about bridging the gap, how God talked about there was no intercessor he couldn't find, not one, how we see all kinds of things that are violation of God's word because God is the lawgiver. So when you study breach, study it with understanding that we've been walking through these last 3 weeks about God's law and God being the lawgiver. We don't hear people use that term anymore. But lawgiver is a prominent phrase and a prominent term throughout the Bible as it relates to God. And it also changes our perspective sometimes when we look at the prophets of the Bible and the judges of the Bible, if we can understand him from that place of violation, breach, violation. Reminding yourself where you are. Are you violating? Are you rupturing something in your offenses? So I just wanted to pull that out. Okay, somebody just posted these definitions. So look at those. Those are critical, 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 critical. Study this week. Come on Tuesday with that. Also, I wanted to look at the words illicit, illegitimate. Those were words that were brought up this week. And she talked about how our relationship with God is so critical to these words and they influence. Listen, our responses to God, we learn from Adam, influences how God is going to have to deal with us. And that was huge. So I want to throw that word, if somebody could type that in the chat. Those are the two words that are tied to this. I hope you're taking good screenshots. Hold on, I'm looking at one more thing I wanted to bring up. And that's going to be it tonight because I want this evening because I want you to go back and study. I want us to look at also the words downgrade and upgrade again, those words that are constantly used in this teaching. But in conjunction with Adam, I want you to review this message, study it, and look at all the ways that the examples we were given, the offenses on that chart. Well, that chart was outstanding. That chart was everything. And I think we can use that chart as a marker for relationships with us, whether it's leadership or whether it's any other person that we may have in our lives that God has positioned in a lawgiver perspective that we may have offense or ought with. And we can use that chart as a precipice of offense, not only of God and Jesus, but our relationships as a whole. And I will say to you the whole kingdom is relational, which is why this is important. And she started the teaching by reminding us that not only how we relate to God, but how we're relating to each other. One of the slogans of Apostle Janita's ministry is the king in me meets the king in you, and the king in you meets the king in me. And this gives us a way of better understanding our conduct, better understanding our approach, better understanding how we are offended. Consider the little things that offend us and getting those little foxes out. And that's all I'm gonna say about that today. But I wanna just encourage you. Listen, I'm gonna ask you to, if there are two people that have questions or comments, we're gonna take them. And we're gonna give Apostle Janita, if she's still here, an opportunity to expound on your questions. I'm gonna ask for questions today. And then if you have a short comment, don't take 50 seconds to just ramble. We wanna make sure that you are giving us a comment or a question. I'm gonna open that up. But if not, I wanna also give this instruction before we move forward. Be sure to bring your comments to Bible study on Tuesday night so that we may take a few minutes just a few minutes to be able to dig through some of your questions or concerns, because I don't know how you could hear a message like this and have nothing that's questioning on the inside of you, or no places that need clarity. But the depth and the depth that we went to today was different from the last two teachings, but it brought all the last two teachings together, and it gave you a roadmap. It gave you precision. It gave you insight. So there should be no question on what an offense is or what an offense looks like as it relates to God, because these terms and these definitions will clarify that for you. Thank you, Sade, for posting that chart of offenses. So you guys can download that. You can download that on your phone, but also just remember that this is where we are. So I'm opening it.